Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Saturday I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there and she almost knocked me dead. Oh God, girl, please look at me. What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me, punk rock girl.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Miss Molinaro, I spoke to today, and she had explained to me that she was denied her 47 hours of comp time. If that is, in fact, the case, I would like to make a motion that her comp time be paid to her promptly.
Second. I'm okay to discuss it. Can we just push it forward to discuss it at executive after Randy gets back and we'll get some more information to address this?
If y'all want to push it forward, you can't make official action until the next council meeting anyway.
So the now fired former city clerk, Don Molinaro, the question here is of some kind of lingering pay issue. Comp time is, I'm not sure what comp time means exactly. Are we talking about accrued vacation time? Are we talking about, I don't know. It was kind of a weird term. It's not a specific term that I could figure out exactly what they were talking about. But okay. I mean, not that I don't understand what comp time is. It's just, not sure how it would apply to a salaried employee. But, okay. So there's about 47 hours a claim there from the mayor that, Marilyn Farrell said, Marilyn Farrell Shire is the one who said this. So let's pay her back pay after she's been fired. And Heather Lindsay says,
I have a question about her contract. She apparently, it's not locatable. Staff people who were in her position had contracts, and other staff have separation clauses that allow them months of severance. And so in this situation, there was zero. So thank you for bringing that up, because it doesn't seem humane to treat her differently than other people who've actually had contracts, but the contract can't be located. So I don't know what the contract would have provided.
It doesn't seem humane. Okay, so the problem is that they don't know where the contract is. According to my sources, there's just no contract. So then the question is, well, should you pay somebody something that you don't have a contract for, that, is it the same as a city manager? No, it's not the same as a city manager. The same as a union employee? No, it's not the same as a union employee. So what exactly do you do in this case? Mayor Lindsay said it's inhumane to treat her differently. Howard Steele, who was a candidate, what did he run? He ran for county commission, if I remember correctly. He's been at some of the meetings more recently.
In light of the fact that she was fired for numerous reasons, if we're legally obligated to pay her for a severance, fine, but I don't understand why Mr. Cusack and Mrs. Farrell given her shade.
Well, sir, Mr. Watkins, when he was fired, he had months of severance.
I understand that, but why are we giving the city clerk shade, considering what, the hostile work environment she created?
Yeah, so, by the way, in this case, giving shade is a good thing. Not throwing shade, but giving shade, like protection and help. I know it's a little bit of an expression that probably threw you off for a second. So Howard Steele continues bickering a bit with Mayor Heather Lindsay.
The overwhelming evidence is she'd been fired the first time it was brought up. And I don't understand why. I want to know why. And I have a feeling that it has something to do with the friendship that you and Ms. Molinaro developed, and also the friendship between the other council members that support her. Mm-hmm. And they have, that has blinded them to their ultimate responsibility, which is to us, the investors in the city. Mm-hmm. So I'd like for them to address why they basically coddling this individual.
Yeah, I mean, somebody that you fired for cause as a council, you're now asking to give them extra money after the fact, regardless of what you think about you know, her as an individual or even her as an employee, you know, if there's no contract, if there's no obligation to pay, and if you were fired for cause, creating a hostile work environment, exceeding your authority, the things that were brought up in that Alex Andrade report, it is kind of a weird thing. If you're not obligated, I mean, if you're obligated, you're obligated. That's one thing. But if you're not.
All this and the city council members that have made obvious positions, not because of their oath of office, but because of their friendship. This is not over with. The way Ms. Farrow has conducted herself, the way she has talked to the city attorney, the way she has interjected herself with staff, I think it has created, she is creating a hostile work environment.
All right, so far so civil, I mean, of a sort. There hasn't been a lot of back and forth. But then, no, bear with me. This is set up for later, okay? Because there's always in, you know, in Milton City Council Melodrama Theater, there's always multiple acts. Okay, multiple scenes. It's never a one shot. But we did get a little slice preview of what's to come here.
And if the members of the public can remember to treat everybody with respect, I'd much appreciate it. I don't appreciate listening to people whispering and chatting it up when someone's at the podium. And I also don't appreciate when people at the podium are hostile towards the people that have been elected to serve you. Let's all try to remember that we're all here with a common goal. To figure out what's best for Milton and do our best to get it done.
I am an elected official. How dare you? That's not how you heard this?
It does remind me. Okay, you know that scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High where they're at the pep rally? Like, yeah. We are spirit bunnies, and we are not going to be called that anymore. You know what I mean? But they are doing their best. I'm on the spirit bunny side.
I just, you know, it seemed a little bit like peasant behave to me.
And I also don't appreciate when people at the podium are hostile towards the people that have been elected to serve you.
Like, you know, I don't know. Just saying, there is a bit of a tradition in American politics that sometimes the peasants, the people, the citizens. You know, I don't know. That's how I heard it. Maybe I interpret it. Maybe I'm part of the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. Maybe I'm overinterpreting things.
Let them eat Maynards. You know, I mean, I don't
oh,
get
I like that.
That.
That's
I don't.
Good.
I'm saying I don't think they're like that.
Later on, there was a little bit of an issue. And by the way, one of the things that came up later on in the meeting, and I think this is at A+ on the right track. Like, you got to get these meetings under control. And one of the ways you're going to get these meetings under control is...
Councilman Snow, did you have anything else, sir?
The speaker time limit, I'd like to discuss with council, get their feedback.
Oh, yeah. Because the way, in case you don't know, the Milton City Council Theater, the way they, meetings, the way they run these things is members of the public are just like get up and talk and then talk again and then talk again and then, you know, oh, I got something to say about that. I mean, it's like, it's really, in some ways, it's really adorable. I mean, it could be like just everybody's around the campfire and everybody's an equal. On the other hand, it's usually kind of a bleep show. So, you know, because there's no rules, whereas every other sitting body has rules on time limits, when you can speak on agenda items, not on agenda items. And Jeff Snow says,
we know that we've had unlimited and people have been able to come up multiple times during the same agenda item. I just think it's time for this council to implement basically what the county has done. They have 4 minutes per agenda item per person to be able to speak. They also have a chance to speak public or persons to appear. And the mayor, you also give them, which a lot of places don't, but graciously you give them another chance to speak at the end of the meeting.
So he says, look, on the agenda items in the meeting, give them 4 minutes. In the public forum ahead of time, give them 3 minutes. In the public forum at the end of the meeting, give them 3 minutes. That's plenty. That's more than enough, and it works for every other elected body. And I completely agree with him. That would at least start to rain. I personally think 3 minutes is plenty. But, you know, some of these folks going from, you know, 13 minutes of meeting down to 4 minutes would be, you know, that's kind of the way it works.
The public has told us that they like having that option to continue to give feedback. I think one of the things that the public struggles with is they don't necessarily know what's going to happen with an agenda item at the beginning. So they want to wait and see what y'all say. So they kind of know, okay, what feedback can I offer based on what they've said?
Which is true. You know, the discussion can change or they feel like, well, I got something to say about that. I got to rebut. I understand. But ultimately, it's a question of running the meetings in an organized way. And do you continue to allow? It's always seemed weird to me that you can just get up and speak again and again and again and again. and the Pitchfork Posse members are the ones who most often do that again and again and again. 520, so they move this forward. We'll see what they decide on it eventually, but I would expect this to pass. I was actually surprised that more of those folks didn't get up to protest this move because they're the ones who are going to lose the most opportunity to speak from it. And I think maybe only one really did, but seems fairly straightforward just because everybody else does it that way as well. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying a house or selling a house. Now, I know we talk a lot about Christina Lemmerth, how many homes she sells every year, like 230 homes last year, which is amazing, like five a week almost, about four and a half a week. That's just crazy effective. But buying a home, like if you're thinking about buying, especially if you're thinking about buying for the first time, all of the like uncertainty in that process and just the, because you've never done it before, you don't know what's normal, you don't know what to expect, you know where the pitfalls and problems are. She is fantastic for that. And also, she'll help kind of, you know, figure out, well, what's the right range and what's the right, you know, which neighborhoods or what's the long-term investment potential here and what do you think is going to happen in 3 or 6 months and all of that stuff. I remember when we bought our first home and it was just kind of like, ah, I hope this works out, you know, but with Christina, you'd be like, oh man, this is going to be great. That level of knowledge and expertise where you basically get to do it like you've done it before because she has done it so many times before with you. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, selling or buying, fantastic help. 723-9158, 723-9158.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody liked Ed Earl. Especially Ed Earl.
I mean, you know, depending on your perspective, I suppose. But it's not exactly the Gomer Pyle movie. Let's just call it that. Best little place to go in that big southern state. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We do have a potential weather system that has suddenly popped up on the, you know, like the northern portion of Central America that is out over the water now, that is now moved from, over the course of a day, basically, from being a low likelihood 20% chance to a 40% to
lead.
A... It's coming straight north over the Gulf, okay?
What's the percentage now?
It's at 70%, sorry. 70% right now through 7 days. So it's a red,
and
you
it's
know, goes from yellow to green, to orange to red. It's headed... You can't really, you don't know anything. This doesn't mean anything, but it's right now headed right at like the Big Bend area east of Apalachicola. So it's not even a cone. It's not right to say that, but the cone basically goes from like Tampa to Yeah, I mean, like east of Panama City. So pay attention, have your plan, know your zone. First 7 days are on you, right? That's, you know, you got to be prepared. And, you know, just keep a watch. This could be, it could be nothing, but it's most likely going to be something in the, you know, tropical storm category one kind of vicinity is what it sort of seems to look like. Remember the Gulf's rule, everything is warm, and so activity is a little bit easier to create. So we'll be watching that over the next few weeks. You know, early next week for the middle of the week, that's kind of the vicinity that we're really concerned about right now. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
China is banning all seafood imports from Japan after Tokyo started releasing treated radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean yesterday.
The contaminated water used to cool melted fuel has been stored in holding tanks that are now nearly full, enough to fill 500 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Japanese officials say there's nowhere else for the water to go.
That's NBC's Janice Mackey-Frayer, and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida gave his approval to begin the Fukushima nuclear power plant plan. He said in a cabinet meeting that it'll be important to the plant's decommissioning and recovery.
Yeah, so this is an interesting story because all of the nuclear regulatory agencies believe this is a safe approach. Like, nobody that's in an official position of, like, regulating nuclear matters is concerned about this plan. What they've done already is mixed the water used to cool the core, which has got contaminated water, right, obviously, higher levels than you're allowed of the radioactive byproducts, is not because it's immersed in it, but because it's close to it. And then they mix that with water and put it in these holding tanks that are now full. And so then they want to mix it with seawater by putting it out into the ocean, basically. And the regulatory agencies are like, this is fine. China, which is in a political feud with Japan because they're, you know, part of our side versus their side, Taiwan, Korea, all of these things, they're using this as economic leverage is kind of what most people seem to see the take. And they probably won't keep up the ban on imports because they import a lot from Japan and they're really dependent on them as a food source. So we'll see how this plays out long term. But I know people are thinking, like, you know, the Springfield reactor and three-eyed fish is going to be, you know, long term to Japan.
Blinky, yeah.
Right. You know, and Fukushima, you scare people by saying that. But I'm just saying kind of what the official agencies are saying is, you know, go ahead, David.
Absolutely. And former President Trump may have to head back to Atlanta soon after yesterday's surrender at the Fulton County Jail. Unlike his other cases, Fulton County doesn't arraign a defendant on the same day they're booked and processed at the jail. Prosecutors pushing for the arraignment to happen September 5th or that week anyhow.
What'd you think of his mugshot?
It was great.
It was staged.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they had like some professional photography in there to help with that and many of the other mugshots. I've never seen mugshots taken quite that way before,
yeah.
With the kind of brooding, head tilted forward, looking up at the camera, like, I'm coming, brother. You know, like that's right. But it's a great mugshot in the grand scheme of mugshots, for sure.
It's definitely going to be on t-shirts, though.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it all over social media. All of the Trump supporters are like, oh, yeah, it's on.
Well, and I thought t-shirt as soon as I saw it.
Exactly, yeah. Most definitely.
And there's a sad note to today. The actress that played Alice Garvey on Little House on the Prairie has died. Hersha Parody died Wednesday in Norfolk, Virginia. Apparently she'd been battling a brain tumor.
Who is Alice Garvey? Oh, okay. All right. I see. I looked her up.
And if you're a wrestling fan, Bray Wyatt passed away last night. He was 36.
I saw that. Yeah, only 36. Yeah. And apparently it was some type of a COVID complication that caused heart issues.
Little House on the Prairie fan, David?
I used to watch it as a kid.
Yes, Andy. Yeah.
My wife has all the DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
One of her favorite. Like, she doesn't watch it often, but I mean, you know, that's one of her, like, old-time favorite shows or whatever. So
my cousin Kelly married a guy named Scott Olson, and she didn't want to take his last name because she didn't want to be Kelly Olson, like Nellie Olson, because she was
Nellie
the witch.
Olson.
And yeah, Little House.
Who, by the way, by all accounts, is like the sweetest, most wonderful, kind person in real life,
right.
Tasked with playing, you know, the devil incarnate, basically.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Donald Trump's official arraignment sometime next month, where he's expected to plead not guilty. That from Fox News Digital. He's the first president ever to be booked.
We're told that he was processed as any other criminal defendant would have been. The former president telling Fox News Digital they insisted on a mugshot and I agreed to do that. It is not a comfortable feeling, especially when you've done nothing wrong.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff on those state charges in Georgia. Trump back in New Jersey this morning. Now, Trump posts on X, the platform that used to be known as Twitter, for the first time in more than 2.5 years, plastering his mugshot on the social media site. The judge judge in the case approves the October 23rd trial for co-defendant and lawyer Kenneth Cheeseborough in the election racketeering case in Georgia. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 80 degrees right now in Pensacola. Well, over across the state line, a third case of the extremely fatal Eastern equine encephalitis disease has now been confirmed in Baldwin County. Alabama health officials say a horse recently tested positive for the rare mosquito-borne disease. Two people then tested positive for the virus, including a young girl that died. Officials say EEE is much more severe than West Nile, and its death rate is at about 90%. Well, as it turns out, that joint letter sent to Opening Doors Northwest Florida wasn't well received. The letter was sent to Executive Director John Johnson by Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves and Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno recently. In that letter was a list of recommended names for a committee that would be responsible for creating a governance board to oversee the continuum of care. It was one of the recommendations that federal homeless expert Dr. Joe Savage made when he was here back in May. But Johnson said the list wasn't diverse enough, said he'd already identified a group of people to join that committee. The man accused of fatally shooting a 25-year-old woman at the Mugs and Jugs bar on Scenic Highway will remain in jail with no bond.
The evidence in this case shows the deceased was punched by the defendant multiple times, knocked to the ground, and then shot multiple times by the defendant as he stood over. There are eyewitnesses in this case, video surveillance in this case, and an admission by the defendant. The proof in this case of guilt is evident, and the presumption is great. At this point, he's not entitled to a bond and should remain in no bond.
And that from prosecutors yesterday during Christian Ketchup's initial court appearance. His next court date was set for September 15th. His girlfriend, Rachel DeRise, was also arrested yesterday on battery charges stemming from this incident. She was released on $15,000 bond. DeRise and Tara Binion got into an argument at the Mugs and Jugs bar when Ketchup allegedly knocked Binion out cold before shooting her several times. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing a hot, humid day today with temperatures near 98 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower, low tonight near 79 degrees. Going to be staying warm through the weekend, Saturday high near 101 degrees, 20% chance of rain, Saturday night temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now it's 80 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Did you hear the good news that maintaining a 2023 Volkswagen Atlas, Atlas Cross Sport, Taos, and ID4 costs less than their respective Toyota, Honda, and Subaru competitors? And the really good news is these VWs are all at Peatmore Imports. Drive the 2023 Jetta Sport from $23,399, the crossover VW Taos S from $25,599. The Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology is on sale from $39,799. And the family-sized VW Atlas SE with technology is now from $42,199. Plus, the VW ID4, the all-new electric SUV, is now from $36,836. So don't miss your chance to own the smarter choice, a Volkswagen from Peatmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peatmore Imports is on New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before sales, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. ID4 discount includes $7,500 manufacturer rebate. Cost of maintenance based on 2023 study by Mid-Century. See dealer for details.
Get ready to get down with the legendary disco and dance group, KC and the Sunshine Band, Sunday, August 27th at the Pensacola Singer Theater, celebrating 50 years of making booty shake.
Shake your booty, shake your booty.
reserve seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. KC and the Sunshine Band, August 27th, Pensacola's Hangar Theater.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
One, two, three, four!
Please tell me, is that AmbuBus going to be ready?
We're rushing it. It's supposed to be picked up either this week or next week and sent to South Florida to put the kit in. So the everything about the – so we finally got the money from the state. That was what we were waiting on. We had to turn the money back in because the bus was in the mechanical shop. We had to put a lot of money in the mechanical. And we appreciate the school board for giving us the bus. They donated the bus to us. So, yeah, great.
Get on the bus as soon as we get it. That's Eric Gilmore. He is the director of public safety for Escambia County, talking with Commissioner Jeff Burgosh during his Coffee with the Commissioner event last week. And, yeah, we've been expecting this thing any day now for a year. It's not really Eric's fault. You know, they've been trying their hardest. Just a whole variety of circumstances have kind of conspired against getting this, you know, once school bus converted over onto being able to transport multiple medical patients, kind of like the MASH unit bus. I mean, a much nicer version of that, but that's kind of the general gist of what this thing is supposed to be. And September 23rd coming up, we've got the one-day move-in, 12 hours. We're going to move all the people from Old Baptist over to New Baptist, and this is a key part of that whole logistical challenge. Yesterday, we talked to Wes Moreno, the county administrator. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Eric said you'd had this bus, you know, last week or this week. Do you have it yet?
Good morning, Andrew. No, we have not got the bus yet, but I will deem Eric the county administrator for the day if you want me to.
Is that a bit of a crystal ball prediction? I mean, what are you saying now? All right, fine, fair enough.
No, we do not have the bus. We've got a plan, but we do not have the bus. You know, it's been one thing after the other with parts and money and just like everything else that we're doing right now. It's just been one delay after another, but we do have a plan. We're gonna have eight ambulances assigned to the move. We're gonna have some help from some outside agencies also in the move, and some of the patients are gonna need paramedic care during the move, which would be difficult on that ambulance. But we got a plan, and we're gonna do it in one day, and we're gonna be successful, and we're gonna make the move happen.
Can I ask the question that it didn't occur to me till just now, and I am assuming this is a question that certainly Eric has already well considered, but it is hurricane season. They're so fixated on this one date. What if we're having a storm that day?
We'll improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what we do.
That's a good Marine slogan to borrow. I like it, Gunny. All right, fair enough. Hey, one of the big things that I feel like I don't understand well enough, and I wanted to ask you about it. You talked about the Delano drainage project kicking off, actually getting into the ground and starting to turn dirt on that. What is that project? Can you maybe explain it for folks? Because this is many years coming, I think, and it's a big project to help flood mitigation.
It is a series of holding ponds and drainage infrastructure going in around the central office complex down Fairfield Drive, Leonard Street, even goes over toward Palafox.
Okay, so it's around the jail, the sheriff's office, yep. The ECAT, all of that whole, which was very heavily affected during the 2014 flood and has historically been a huge problem. Okay, go ahead. What's happening there?
So it's a huge FEMA project. We broke ground the other day, and if you look next on that large piece of property behind the Waffle House on Fairfield and next to the central office complex, you know, you'll see them out there working. That's the first phase of the project, if you will, digging that holding pond. We stripped up all the asphalt off that project, and we're starting to excavate the holding pond. And I got to say, Andrew, I got to say that Rob McCracken there at engineering has done a yeoman's job of securing that funding from FEMA. It was a huge lift. FEMA says, we got the bids in. FEMA says, we don't have any more money. And he went back and forth and back and forth, and he was able to work through that with FEMA and acquire the extra funding to make the project happen. So it's a huge thing. It's been talked about for years. It's been in design. It's been something that's been envisioned. And it's going to make a huge drainage impact there in that area for the businesses and residents as well in that area.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the kind of, like, this stuff about, you know, fixing flood mitigation, it's kind of like it's never sexy, but you really notice when it doesn't get done. And so these incremental improvements of making that stuff better is, you know, kudos to everybody who's doing this in the city and Gulf Breeze and, you know, in the county as well here in Escambia and Santa Rosa as well. The Hearst Hammock Fire, which is, this is, if people don't know about this, it's a long road that's basically like Beulah Road goes through a subdivision, then turns into Hearst Hammock Road, which goes for miles or a long distance down to this little tiny outpost of civilization down there, which can get cut off from the rest of us by anything that goes wrong in that area. Is that fire out now, contained this morning?
It is contained. It was contained last night, late yesterday afternoon.
Great.
But yeah, you're right. Hearst Hammock's a long road. And, you know, we had a fire down through there last year, maybe before. For whatever reason, it seems to be a little more susceptible. But I can't say nothing about our fire rescue folks, our firemen, fire women over there. You know, it's 103 degrees outside, and they get up, and they're out there getting after it, doing what they do. And I'm very proud of them and very appreciative of them. They responded and they got it under control fairly quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, fighting fires in this heat is just, that is its own extra special problem to make sure that you don't become a victim of the thing that, you know, just of the heat itself in the process of trying to save other people or save structures or prevent, expansion of the fire. So I know you guys are, you know, doing a ton of hydrating, pre-hydrating and all of that kind of stuff and watching yourself to not susceptible to a heat stroke or whatever. But, man, I appreciate the work that they are doing and have to do in these circumstances. We're talking to Wes Moreno, county administrator, although we hear Eric Gilmore might be on the rise. We've got a proposed subdivision at the very east end of East Kingsfield before you get to all the kind of the undevelopable area. 335 houses, to which the residents are like, the what now? On, you know, East Kingsfield Road is this little road, and, you know, the intersection there with what Kem's trying to think is the closest intersection behind all of the other relatively new subdivisions in that vicinity. How do you address the concerns that it's just kind of more of this unlimited, unfettered growth that we're just not prepared for?
Yeah, I talked to Joy Blackman about that, county engineer Joy Blackman. She came to my office, I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday, and we were talking about this particular project, and she's looking at it, and we're having some meetings about it. You know, it's you got some really, really nice area over there, and so we're looking at compatibility, we're looking at infrastructure, and mainly traffic infrastructure. So we're looking at that. I'm not sure how we're going to move on that just yet, but we are looking at it. Joyce is queued in, and Horace is queued in, Development Services Director. He's queued in, and actually we have a meeting this morning, not about that project in particular, but about some land development code and compatible uses and those sorts of things. So we'll see. We have some decisions to make, and we'll work with the engineer and the developer there, and we'll see what we do to modify what they've initially presented.
Okay. All right. Well, and I remember Commissioner Barry making the comment about how, you know, a lot of projects are basically on pause until they figure out what they want to do with, for example, the LDC, and, you know, just trying to decide whether, because the message they said at the board meeting was very clear that, you know, just because you meet the basic requirements of the FLU, the future land use, and of the land development code and the zoning, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to approve it. I have my questions about the alternative to that particular thing, but I agree with the concern, you know, that we just can't keep plopping these things down without properly preparing for them is the issue. Last thing here is, I think you've got two things. One is in the planning realm, you've got the kickoff meeting for the Beulah Master Plan tonight, right?
Yep, absolutely. Beale Middle School kicks off this evening, and that'll be for those who are interested. That'll be a good event to show up to and learn how to stay in touch, learn how to communicate your concerns, and that'll be a good meeting.
Yeah, and it's not run by the county. It's run by the firm that you hired to do the master plan. So that ought to be very interesting. And then also, you've got the Real Change Opioid event coming up on Saturday, 10 to 2, at the Brownsville Community Center, right? And this is a county event.
Yeah, this is a county event. This stems from, that smaller working group that we put together, myself and Allison Patton, and we felt like we needed to make a push there in the community, in a community. We picked Brownsville first. We may take it to other areas if it's successful. But we have all of our partners with us, and they're going to be out there with us. And it's really a resource day, I call it. Here's where you find resources, mental health, opioid, homelessness. We have all our partners with us, and I'm looking forward to a good event out there. And I'm hoping that it really makes a change for some folks. A positive impact to that community there. And like I said, if it's successful, we'll take it to other areas of Escambia County.
And this is, you're going to feed them free lunch. There's opioid addiction help. There's ID services, free haircuts, transportation, veteran support services. I mean, this really is meant to be kind of a comprehensive, whatever you might need, come here and we'll see if we can't figure out either how to get it to you right now or put you in touch with the people that you need to get it. So I love that y'all are doing this. I think this is a great outreach to the community, especially those people who are struggling. So that's great. 651 on News Radio 92.3. Wes Moreno, thanks so much for the time as always and the work you do on behalf of the county. I appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 548. Did you just snap at me? It was so funny.
I wasn't snapping at you. I missed taking the 651 out, and it's like, no, it was, that's, it was no, awesome. I did look you, like I was like, hey, you.
Hey,
and that's
pay attention. Pay
so
attention,
not what I was doing. No. I love that, though. No, I would never do that to you.
You have to understand that when we fake fight on the radio.
Oh, yeah, we do fake fight.
It's totally, oh my God, we have so much fun. 548.
But I seriously wasn't stamping.
That's right, 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are a business owner and you've got employees that you'd like to help have the best benefits possible, or you just are tired of dealing with HR stuff or payroll or whatever, hey, Torgerson Causey. This is what they do. They help make your life easier by taking that load off of your plate and kind of helping you manage this stuff and figure it out and do it in a way that is really better for your employees. You know, like we started using them here at News Radio and Cat Country about 6 years ago, and they're fantastic. I mean, I didn't know them before that, we talked to them and met them, the listeners to the show and all that. But they gave us options in our health insurance that we just didn't have before. And I love that. My wife appreciates it. And they've been great at answering questions. And, same for dental, vision, life, disability, like all of that stuff. Just great customer service. So fantastic to deal with, which I didn't realize we were deficient in before, but they were so good. I'm like, oh, this is better. So if you manage this stuff or you're thinking about it or you just want somebody to come take a look at what your company does and see maybe can we do it better, that's what Torgerson Causey is all about. More than 20 years helping local businesses just like yours. No obligation to have them review what you're doing. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. Or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
This week, it's the Jay Williams Band, a high-energy rock and roll country funk party van. It's Bands on the Beach with the Jay Williams Band this Tuesday night at 7.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I quote John Lennon, "I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me." A good point there. After all, he was the walrus.
When you like know something that is a little bit obscure, and therefore you get the joke, and you get extra pride out of getting the joke, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's how I have always felt about that line, because I knew that John wasn't the walrus,
right?
You know. Oh my God! 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Yes, and good morning. Hold on here. I'm just buying a few seconds while I scroll to the right page. There we go. Donald Trump posted his mugshot on Truth Social last night. Of course, that's been all over the news after the former president was booked and released in Georgia Thursday. He posted the mugshot that was taken of him at the Fulton County Jail. Under the photo were the words, "Election interference, never surrender," and a link to his website. I'm still waiting for the NFTs to come out. I'm getting in on floor one.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell going to be the headline speaker today at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium happening in Wyoming. That annual gathering brings together central bankers and financial officials from all around the world, all to Jackson Hole.
Or as some people would say, Davos West, right?
I only even read that story because I just wanted to say Jackson Hole.
You know, right. Jackson Hole is one of those weird places where you're like, this is in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, and it's all the billionaires live there. I mean, it just right. is. And, you know, they're all from there. It's bizarre. They move there. It's like, it's almost like if somebody wrote a really long book about when there was decline in the world and capitalism started imploding on itself because nobody was doing their duties and all of the wealthy people created a, I don't know, mountain haven where they all went while Atlas shrugs. Just saying.
Right.
If any of this ever came to pass, go to Jackson Hole. Fast.
Alex Jones is on the phone for you.
Oh, all right. Very good. Go ahead, David.
It's now official. Barbie is the year's highest grossing movie.
Woo!
It's now brought in $575 million at the domestic box office. The number two is the Super Mario Brothers movie. That was the reigning champion. It had $574 million now in second place.
Well, that's a surprising fact.
Nice. That's a good accent.
That's a good Mario.
I saw a headline Mario. The other day that said that I don't even remember it exactly, so I'm probably going to butcher it, but the headline's gist was voice of Super Mario Brothers no longer doing the voice, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cute headline. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, Candy, do you you feel like being angry at me?
Yeah. I mean, what day is it?
Who are you?
The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats.
Nice thing about you, Joe, is that you can sound like a liberal, but at heart you're an American.
Who filed it?
It's your favorite segment where we tell you the bills that have been filed. Yes, it's August, and they're already filing bills in Tallahassee for next year's session, which is early because of the election year, right? So it's January that's when they start. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
I guess.
So first bill, HB 11, invalid restrictive covenants with physicians would basically prohibit geographic prohibitions on doctors practicing within certain areas. So, you know, carving up basically territories for doctors and or prohibiting them operating in certain areas.
Oh, that's weird.
I'm not quite sure what this is working against, but that's the nature of it. Restrictive covenants like this are void and unenforceable. Is that a Republican or a Democrat?
I think Democrat.
It's a Republican. It's Joel Rudman.
Okay.
District 3, which
that just
is,
seems,
you know,
like a weird idea.
Most of
but,
Santa Rosa
okay.
County other than the beach. SB 22, animal cremation. Also, I read this one. I'm not 100% sure what it's reacting to, but the gist of it was that any veterinarian that provides cremation services for pets would have to tell you what are all the alternatives for how to dispose of the pet that dies, but also tell you whether they conduct basically mass cremations of multiple animals or whether it's individual cremations, so that when you get, for example, cremains back.
Right,
is
which
it really...
I have cremains, and I think that's crap because you have to pay extra for just your animal to be cremated, which it's like, well, we could just do it with a bunch of animals. It's like, what? Then why am I paying you all this money to do it? I'm not trying to be an ass.
That's the issue.
Republican.
This isn't saying it has to be done one way or the other. It is just saying that people
have
to
be informed
about the alternatives, and
they have to tell you
the alternatives, and they have to tell you if they don't do it
just
solo.
Like other funeral directors. You don't want to have them buried with everybody else, do you?
And,
yeah. How about extra money? Not that funeral directors are like that. Not here anyway. Republican.
Republican, in fact. Gail Harrell. That's
Gail.
Exactly right.
Good.
Minimum base salary for full-time teachers, HB 13, raising the current minimum base from $49,500 to $65,000. So what was that? Quick math. That's a 30% increase in pay. So,
That's great. No, and they deserve $1 million
base pay,
a year.
Base pay.
Wow.
A Democrat or Republican?
Democrat.
Democrat, Gervonta Edmonds. Yeah, so I would guess this is probably a non-starter numerically, and he's doing this to kind of create tension for the upcoming session over what the starting pay will be for teachers, but I have a hard time believing that they're going to jack it to $65,000. But you never know. And he's a Democrat, right? So he can do that. I mean, you know.
Teachers, just quit. You should go into radio.
HB
That's where all the money is.
Yeah, we're wallowing in it.
Yeah.
HB 17, expiration of the mandatory waiting period for firearms purchases. Right now, the way the law is written, it's either you either have a 3-day waiting period or until your background check is completed, but that could take as much time as it takes. The change would be to make it so it's 3 days maximum. So you can get it as soon as the background check is done in an hour, or you could have to wait 3 days at the very maximum if they're being slow. So it accelerates the ability to get firearms, Republican or Democrat.
Republican.
Yeah,
I think that's a good bill.
Yeah, Joel Rudman. He's the local state representative again.
Ah, Joel, you are a bad butt.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
I like it. It's a bill that certainly makes sense. And this is kind of an interesting one. Contracts for live entertainment, HB 15. It says that you cannot cancel an act who is scheduled to perform at your venue on the basis of anything they have used or posted on social media or political affiliation. So if a band, an act, a performer is coming to your venue and you've got a deal, and then they post something offensive on social media, you can't cancel them from your venue for that.
Oh, wow. So that's an odd bill, but Republican?
Yeah, it's absolutely Republican, and it's Joel Rudman again.
Okay.
So I think he's got.
Joel.
I think he's filed all of his bills already. Like, he's got five, I think, already. So anyway, there's a couple of other ones. Well, we'll do one last quick one. Term limits for county commissioners. Two term limits starting next time around. So
Democrat.
Everybody would have 8 years maximum to serve in order. They'd have to go out for 4 years to come back.
Oh, Democrat?
Republican, Michelle Salzman.
Michelle!
And this would be a constitutional amendment, so it has to pass and then also pass.
Listen on air at 92.3,
95.3
AM 1620, News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.